All right. We got 6 minutes. Woo! That's all right. It's worth it. I'm okay with getting behind even further if you guys are good on your papers. Okay? So let's go a little bit in. We were in verses 9 and following, we'll just say, where the big old list of countries was occurring, right? We talked about the Parthians and how they were kind of a thorn in the side of Rome throughout their history. The next two places that are mentioned as well are the Medes and the Elamites, and I believe it says in the residents of Mesopotamia. These three places would have been considered under the reign of Parthia. Every other region that is mentioned after that is under the reign of Rome. Notice that's the very last one that is mentioned, Rome. Okay? Each of these regions, if you look up here on the map, generally, now this isn't, you know, ipso facto, but generally it goes north to south and then it goes from east to west. That's the way it describes it. Obviously ending all the way over in Rome. Now we've talked about maybe some of the reasons why he has done this, why he's listing these, but there's some little interesting details I want to point out to show that I think he's saying something more about theology than he is about geography. He's using geography to make a theological point. Number one, I find it very strange that he mentions the name of Judea and he doesn't mention Syria. Syria would be this portion. It's not going to work now. Hey, there it is. Would be this portion right here. This is Syria. The reason why I find that strange is because Syria is the political center of that region. Why would he leave that out? Did he not know that was the political center of the region? He puts in Judea and takes out Syria. What could be happening there? What's significant about Judea? Where is Judea?
It's the center of the Jewish world.
Yeah. Judea's down here. It would stretch up into there because this would be Galilee up in this region. And if this is also Syria, and he takes Syria out and puts Judea in, what would he be saying? Yeah, that with the coming of the Messiah and what's happening right now at Pentecost, there's a restructuring of the power of the world. That the center of this region politically is not Syria because the Messiah has come and the kingdom is reigning. The center of this region is Judea. Theologically, that's pretty important. Another thing that you notice is that we talked about earlier how it uses the word in verse 5. Now they were staying, dwelling in Jerusalem, as if they were permanent, even though we know these people are transit. They've come in for a feast and they'll probably go home. Why does he use that word? I think because he's theologically saying something. What was one of the key reasons or the key purposes of the Messiah whenever he came? Think about that. Remember, have we talked about this? The four things that the Messiah was supposed to accomplish whenever he came? The defeat of his enemies, the reign of Yahweh at Zion, the exaltation of the nation of Israel. We haven't talked about this. The fourth thing that is the key thing is the Messiah's goal, the Messiah's purpose, was to bring the exiles back into the land. What's significant about that? What's significant about the exile? What am I talking about when I say the word exile? Nobody know?
Just the cyclical cycle coming back.
Yeah.
Coming into captivity and brought back.
The captivity. The exile is whenever the Assyria and Babylon in the 6th century BC, Babylon, 7th century BC, takes the nation of God into exile, takes them out of Jerusalem, destroys the temple, takes all the temple artifacts, Daniel 1 tells us, and those artifacts are then used in the pagan temples for their rituals. The exile, whenever the people of God are displaced from the promised land, whenever they're taken and spread out all over the world. And at this point, even in the time of Rome, the Jews did not consider themselves out of exile. Because even though some of them were living in the area of Judea, in the area of Syria that Syria reigned, even though some of them were living there, they were still under the rule of Rome. And a lot of their ancestors were still scattered across the world. But when the Messiah came, he would destroy the enemies according to the Jewish perspective. Which is one of the reasons why I don't think they understood who Jesus was, because he wasn't killing people like he should have. When the Messiah came, he was supposed to kill the enemies, establish Yahweh as the one ruling on the throne in Israel. He was supposed to exalt the nation of Israel over all of the nations, and by all of that, he would be bringing the exiles back to the land that was promised to them to begin with. Whenever he says, now, he takes away Syria as the political point, puts Judea in place, and says, not that they just happen to be at the festival, but they are dwelling in the city. He's saying something theological. The Messiah has come. The exiles are now allowed to return to the promised land. See what's happening? One more detail. It is very strange that he mentions the Medes and the Elamites as the second and third people. Why? Because the Medes and the Elamites have been extinct for centuries. That's weird, isn't it? He's like, the Parthians were there, and the Medes were there, and the Elamites, and you're going, hold on. Parthians, we understand. Medes and Elamites haven't been around for quite a long time. But you have to understand that the Medes and the Elamites were instruments, key instruments, in taking the nation of Israel into exile 600-700 years earlier. And a matter of fact, it says in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, that the Elam would be destroyed because of their participation in taking the northern kingdom into exile, and yet in the last days they would be restored. What's he saying? The kingdom has been inaugurated. The last days are now here according to Pentecost. Why? Because look who's there. He's redefining Israel. He's reorienting the world around the kingdom of God. He is reestablishing the truth, and that is that God will reign. It may look like the world is winning, but God's the one that will reign. And just by listing the nations the way he has, the theological message comes through quite clear. Okay, I love you guys. I'll see you on Tuesday.